Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
For too long, we failed to use the most important word when it comes to meeting the climate crisis.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
He wants control of your life. He's going to control how much meat you can eat. Can you imagine that?
This is something that favors the urban, it favors the rich, it favors the elitist, it favors those that want power and control over every single minute of your day. It is disgusting.
Stop. I'm not kidding. You're making me nauseous.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
We know this is tiring and exhausting, and people are sick and tired of wearing masks, and they're sick and tired of having restrictions and not seeing their friends and not having big barbecues and going to concerts. I am too.
If people want to get more normal faster, go get vaccinated. That is the fastest way to get us from here to there.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. We're going to keep talking about the speech for a while, and we'll have John Heineracker from Powerline Blog on at the bottom of the hour. But, you know, this was a disastrous speech in terms of viewership. And the lowest Trump speech for a State of the Union or an address to the nation, whatever you want to call it, the lowest one he ever had was 37 million. Biden last night, his first one. I mean, this you would think the first one would be the one that would get the most attention, the most eyeballs. 11.6 million people. 11.6 million people. I dare say there will be close to that many people watching the NFL draft tonight, even though we know who the first three or four players drafted are going to be. And it's only going to be on the ESPN, I think. Maybe it's on NFL Network, too, but mainly one network. Nobody watched that disaster last night, or very few people did. 844-500-4242. So let's play a couple of cuts here, a couple more cuts before we go back to the phone lines. We've got a lot of people who have been hanging on, so if you want to call in and put in your 2 cents worth, give us a call at 844-500-4242. Cut 11.
The parts have no serial numbers, so they show up at crime scenes and they can't be traced.
These are ghost guns. They show up at crime scenes. Crime scenes. And they can't be traced. I don't even know how you'd get to a crime seam. I've never seen a crime seam. Have you?
I've heard of a crime shame.
All right. Now let's talk about immigration here. Cut 3.
Immigration has always been essential to America. Let's end our exhausting war over immigration.
More of our immigration. More of our immigration. Okay. Cut 7.
Secretary Blinken can tell you, I spent a lot of time with President Xi. Traveled over 17,000 miles with him. Spent, they tell me, over 24 hours in private discussions with him. When he called to congratulate me, we had a 2-hour discussion.
See, now this is the second time he said he traveled over 17,000 miles. There was a fact check at the Washington Post before they discontinued their fact-checking on Joe Biden. They said, we don't need to do any fact-checking on Dementia Joe because most of the time, they're not really lies. They're flubs. He and again, last night, oh, he just ad-libbed again. And, you know, if it had been Donald Trump, he lied. He didn't go anywhere near 17,000 miles. Oh, it's just Uncle Joe. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Now we come to Russia, the bear, Vladimir Putin, cut nine.
But I made very clear to Putin that we're not going to seek escalation.
All right, cut 10.
You know, it's estimated that 50 women are shot and killed by an intimate partner every month in America. 50 a month.
By intimate, 50 women are shot by an intimate partner. Not intimate. Shouldn't it be intimate partners? Cut 8.
We expanded tax credit for every child in a family. Up to $3,000 per child if you're under 6 years of age. Over 6 years of age. And $3,600 for children over 6 years of age.
Huh. Can we quote you on that, Mr. President? You know, it's one thing to get confused with a number like 17,000 or $3 trillion, whatever they're spending this week on their new welfare plans for protected classes. But he gets confused by the number 6. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, how you doing, Howie? Hey, you know, as far as escalate, I think, wasn't the word that Biden was trying to use like escargot, like that joke, look at that escargot?
I don't know what he was trying to say, Steve. And you know what? He didn't know what he was trying to say either. That was the best he could do after working on the speech for months, or weeks, excuse me, as Jen Psaki said, right?
Yeah, his grammar teacher is pulling her hair out right now.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Cut 15.
So we did that in the last piece of legislation we passed. But let's extend that child care tax credit.
What's the name of the legislation you passed? Come on, it's right there on the teleprompter, for goodness sake. Cut it. Let's hear that one again.
So we did that in the last piece of legislation we passed. But let's extend that child care tax credit.
Yeah, let's extend that. Then we have the, remember when he said that it was all about a three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S, a three-letter word? Well, he went back to the three-letter word last night, cut 6.
For too long, we failed to use the most important word when it comes to meeting the climate crisis. Jobs. Jobs. Jobs.
Phony baloney jobs, to be precise about it. Instead of having Keystone Pipeline jobs where they actually produce a product that Americans can use, i.e. fossil fuels, energy, the jobs that he's talking about are jobs sharpening pencils and pushing paper around, bureaucrat jobs. Think of it this way. He doesn't like jobs where someone is digging a hole, because somebody's got to dig a hole, right? Just to take that as an example. He likes jobs, where people are watching. Multiple people are watching one guy digging a hole, and they're getting paid more than the guy digging a hole. And they get a three-day weekend every 3 weeks. And they get a pension on top. The guy digging the hole doesn't get a pension, but the hacks that Joe Biden wants to put on the payroll, they're going to get a pension. Dr. Luke, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dr. Luke.
Hey, how you doing, Howie?
Good.
Wonderful show.
Thanks.
Wonderful show. Hey, I didn't know which Joe we were listening to, Joe Stalin, with everything he's trying to take away from my children's future. These bills are very serious.
I know, they are.
I didn't hear, he didn't say thank you, so all these boobs can go up there and clap themselves to death there to President Donald Trump, who made, with his Operation Warp Speed, made all these clowns available to go up and give themselves hugs and kisses.
I know. I know. It was it's ridiculous. You know, when he made it sound like he had taken over this system that was totally broken, and the system was humming along until the pandemic was ginned up into a crisis that it didn't need to be ginned up into. And they used it to set up these mail-in voting systems in the states, and you know, go against the state and the federal constitution. And now he's acting like he's a savior. And you know what? No one's buying it. And you know, they talk about he has a high favorability rate. He doesn't. I think you know, you can judge someone's favorability in this kind of situation by how many people are actually willing to watch him on TV for even a few minutes, and nobody was. And again, we were laughing about the Academy Award disaster in the ratings a couple of nights ago, which they got fewer than 10 million people, but that was on one network. This was all over the place. This was on all the broadcast networks and all the cable news channels, and it got only a marginally higher audience than the Oscars, which was an all-time low. And this was an all-time low for the address to Congress or State of the Union, whatever you want to call it. You know what I miss? A true, real break, not a running away from life break where you hide in the bathroom or throw your phone in a drawer or endless downtime. I mean a break that feels earned, a shortcut that gives you yourself that makes your life truly easier without sacrificing the end result. That's my experience with HelloFresh. HelloFresh lets me skip the grocery store, the crowds, the traffic, the Karens, the annoying carts going one way up the aisle, the social distancing at the checkout counters, all those headaches of the last year. This way, with HelloFresh, I don't have to go to the supermarket, and I can get a great meal without all of those hassles.
And as far as I know, Howie, you can get as many beef-based meals that you want, right?
I'm holding up the Cheddar Wonder Burgers in Old Bay for ice. You can order as many of these as you want. Don't worry about Joe Biden. And they have cheddar burgers. They have burgers with Gouda cheese too. They have all kinds of meat. How about Tex-Mex pork enchilada balls? First they came for my beef and I didn't say anything. Then they'll be coming for your pork. Then they'll be coming for your chicken. Buffalo spice crispy chicken cutlets. You can get them from HelloFresh. It's a great, great product. We're getting all kinds of rave reviews from our listeners. They're so happy that we turned them on to HelloFresh. This isn't takeout or some space food you microwave for 10 minutes. These are whole restaurant-quality meals made with fresh, pre-portioned ingredients that you can prepare in as little as 20 minutes. HelloFresh sends all the ingredients, including the seasonings, right to your door and delivers them contact-free. You also get these easy-to-follow recipe cards, like I'm holding up right now, with pictures at every step. With more than 25 chef-created recipes to pick from each week, you'll never run out of meals to try. And something else you can feel good about? HelloFresh is 28% cheaper than shopping at your local grocery store. Taylor, you're going to be getting a lot more HelloFresh when I get back to Boston next week. We'll be ordering a lot more.
Nice. Looking forward to it.
Yes. Hello. We'll have some of that Szechuan pork that one of our listeners was raving about yesterday. Go to HelloFresh.com/Howie12 and use code Howie12 to get 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's code Howie12 at HelloFresh.com/Howie12 for 12 free meals. HelloFresh.com/Howie12, code Howie12. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this.
He regret it to his dying day, if ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Gold Co. We're all facing a global pandemic, U.S. debt piling up, and a looming Biden tax plan, all set to wreak havoc on our retirement savings. Visit goldco.com/Howie Carr to learn how you can protect your money. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Are you willing to restrict your red meat intake to one hamburger a month?
No.
96% say no.
Someone says they're not going to come after pork second. They're going to come after specifically bacon as opposed to, you know, ham. I guess bacon has more sodium, is probably more unhealthy than, say, pork tenderloin or even ham. But they're going to come after everything eventually. They made the move today, was expected. FDA is going to try to ban menthol cigarettes. It's going to take a long time. They're going to be a lot of twists and turns, but that's the way they're moving. You know, menthol cigarettes, hamburgers, everything that isn't prohibited is mandatory. Masks are mandatory. You can't vote in New Jersey in the primary elections this year unless you're wearing a mask. Phil Murphy announced that today. New Jersey, the state with the highest death rate in the country, even higher than New York State, even higher than Massachusetts. They're not going to let you vote, he said, unless you have a mask on. 844-500-4242, Biden's cradle to grave government. I just want to read a couple of paragraphs before we go back to the calls here. This is the Wall Street Journal today. The White House talking points pitch his plan in the smothering love of the welfare state, making care affordable, free medical and family leave, free education, 2 years of universal preschool, invest in the care workforce. One question to ask is, haven't we tried this before? What is Head Start if not government preschool education and child care? Weren't school lunches in the Women, Infants, and the Children's WIC program supposed to prevent child hunger? Food stamps, welfare checks, child care subsidies, and a supplement to earned income, to alleged earned income, I would say, plus public housing. Weren't all of these programs and more from the previous decade supposed to end poverty? Why did the trillions of dollars spent on these programs fail? And if they didn't work, why do we need more now? This is now about mainlining benefits to middle-class families so they, too, become addicted to government and to the Democrat Party that has become the promoting agent of government. Most of these new programs would be free handouts on the model of the 1960s Great Society. Yeah, the war on poverty. Remember that line? The war on poverty is over. Poverty won. All of this adds up to healthy, guaranteed annual income, largely untied to the social contract that requires work, which is the real path to independence and self-respect. The White House is also less than honest about how it will pay for all this. Its short answer is that more taxes on the wealthy and more IRS audits are enough. But that doesn't come close. Amen. Robert, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Robert.
Howie, good to talk to you. Awesome. I reluctantly watched Joe Biden last night. And the only reason, I'm in the trades, do a lot of roofing and stuff like that. And all the guys at work, I'm like, you guys going to watch this? And they're like, what? They didn't even know he was going to be on. And I'm like,
plus there was a good baseball game. There were, you know, it was one of those rare occasions where there was a game worth watching.
Yeah, they weren't doing that either. It was just like, it was just insane. And I watched it, like I said, reluctantly and unexpectedly. There was all the left wing stuff more than I even imagined. But what really threw me off my chair was when he said that the government was the people, and I just lost it at that point. I'm like, the government is not the people. The people are the ones that are Americans. The government is
the government. The government works for us.
A handful of people representing millions.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
And as Ronald Reagan said, the number most scary words in the English language are, we're from the government and we're here to help you. I mean, it's so true. You're absolutely right, Robert. Thank you. Mark, you're next with, oh, no time. We'll take some more. We're going to have John Heineracker on, but hang on and we'll take some more calls after we talk to John Heineracker from Powerline blog. He's written a lot of good columns lately. I'm going to ask him first about the mask column. And then about the wind and solar column and why wind and solar is not the answer, despite what AOC and Fast Eddie Markey, a.k.a. Mr. Frosty, think. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
As I always say, one of my favorite blogs is powerlineblog.com, and they do a lot of great work, and I suggest you check it out every day. And I wanted to check in today with John Hinderacher. He's written several really good pieces lately in the last week or so. And he's on the line with us now. And John, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show. I loved
Howie, great to be with you.
I loved your CDC column, the latest foolishness from the CDC. This chart that they put out about choosing safer activities. It was perfectly parodied later on today or earlier today by the Babylon Bee. But we'll tweet it out from the Babylon Bee, the one their parody of it. But John's got a great description of it too. He's talking about these absurd regulations. Even as more and more people get vaccinated, they only marginally cut back on these absurd regulations. And he says, so why on God's green earth do you have to wear a mask at an outdoor sporting event if you've been vaccinated? Or attend a small indoor gathering of fully vaccinated and unvaccinated people wearing a mask. No one does that. But you've got a beautiful explanation about why they want people to continue wearing the mask. Explain to people what it is. I hadn't thought about this.
Well, yeah, that's right, Howie. On the one hand, they tell us if you've been the vaccine works great, everybody must get vaccinated, right?
Right.
And they're right about that. And the data show that if you've been vaccinated, your chance of getting this disease is just virtually zero. And if you can't catch it, you can't spread it. You can't communicate a disease you don't have. And so why in the heck do they keep telling us that even once you're vaccinated, you can go for a walk in the woods by yourself, but other than that, you got to wear a mask? And here's the reason, Howie. The reason is because if they said, hey, if you've been vaccinated, take off your mask, you're good to go, well, then all the vaccinated people would take the masks off if they're in a restaurant or a shopping center or whatever it might be. Well, what would happen is that the people who haven't been vaccinated, they'd look around and they'd start taking their masks off, too. And you can't tell by looking at a person whether he's been vaccinated or not. And what that means is that the harpies wouldn't know who to shame.
Exactly. We call them Karens. The Karens wouldn't know
right.
who to yell at.
Right. If they start yelling at you, you'd say, hey, man, leave me alone. I'm vaccinated. And so that is literally the only reason why they're still doing this, why they're saying people who have been vaccinated got to keep wearing masks.
Yeah. And there was a column in The New York Times by a guy named David Leonhard. He says experts want to keep vaccinated people masked because masks are a symbol of solidarity that shows the mask wearer is a decent person. What kind of attitude is that for a free society? And he said masks, it's not a big deal because masks are only a modest inconvenience. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's not up to some columnist for the New York Times or Dr. Fauci to decide what's a modest inconvenience or an immodest inconvenience, is it, John?
I think wearing a mask is an outrage.
I do too.
It's to me that people put up with it. Every time I put a mask on, I feel like an idiot. And I wrote about that column by Leonhard. It was one of the dumbest things I ever read. He says that you wear a mask to show solidarity. Solidarity with whom? Dr. Fauci? I mean, it's completely stupid.
Yeah, he also said you should wear a mask to contribute to a culture of mask wearing. I want to destroy the culture of mask wearing, John,
right.
And I think most people
exactly.
do, don't they?
Exactly.
I don't want to promote it.
No, yeah. Howie, you and I are old enough to remember when there were actually some feminists who burned their bras. Remember that?
Right.
Well, I want to have bonfires of these stupid masks. I want millions of people burning their masks. I want to get back to the way things have always been through human history. We're living through a period of intense stupidity.
I went to a college, same time you did, and they had ROTC, and you had to wear uniforms for reserve officers training. And those guys would get dirty looks from a lot of people because they were wearing a uniform. Now the same people who were giving them dirty looks are saying, you put on this uniform or you're a bad person. You know, it's amazing how things have changed.
And it's totally symbolic, Howie. I mean, I've studied the data on this, and you know, you can put up a chart, whether it's a state or a country. I've seen dozens of them, and you can chart cases, you can chart deaths, you can chart hospitalizations, anything you want. You draw that graph, and then you put lines where that state or that country initiated a shutdown, or you can put lines where they initiated a mask mandate. And you cannot find any difference. I mean, you just cannot see any impact. Where I live in Minnesota, we've had one of the harshest shutdown and mask regimes of any state. And right next door in Wisconsin, they've had one of the lightest regimes. Their Supreme Court declared an order that had been implemented there unconstitutional early on. And so they've had a much different regime, a much freer regime than we have. And if you look at the COVID numbers, they're exactly the same. There is no difference. Minnesota has gained nothing from this shutdown orders and the mask mandates.
I want to get into another column you wrote about another aspect of the Democrat Party orthodoxy these days, and that's wind and solar energy. And you wrote the headline on your column was "Why Wind and Solar Energy Are Doomed to Failure," and of course it's just not very efficient, as Texas found out this winter. But, you know, you quote from a paper that just came out, the biggest barrier is the land use problem. The ferocity and extent of rural land use conflicts are showing that any attempt to convert the domestic economy to run solely on renewables, wind and solar, is destined to fail. So tell us, John, how much land would you need to supply the U.S. electrical grid with wind power? How much land?
Yeah, this is a paper that was done by Robert Bryce, nationally known energy expert, and actually published by the organization that I run, Center of the American Experiment. And one of the things that Robert did, he did the math on that. And if you wanted to power America's electric grid with wind turbines, you would have to dedicate an area twice the size of the state of California.
Right. Twice the size of the state of California. And then you would have to run these giant transmission lines across the rural areas where you would put these huge wind farms, and they're going to be objected to even more vociferously probably than the Keystone Pipeline or the Dakota Pipeline is objected to, and there will be a million lawsuits against it.
One of the things going on here, Howie, is they don't put these wind turbine farms in the Hamptons. They don't put them in Marin County. You know, they don't put them in affluent suburbs across
Nantucket Sound.
America. Yeah, you know, they don't put them in those places. They put them in out-of-the-way rural areas where people live who don't have any political clout. And those people don't like it for a lot of reasons. They're right not to like it. So what they do is they'll site these wind farms in some remote corner of North Dakota or something, and then they will build transmission lines to the urban areas that actually need the electricity. And so one of the things that Robert Bryce calculated in this paper is that along with dedicating land equal to twice the size of the state of California, you would have to build 240,000 miles of transmission lines.
Ugh.
To carry the electricity to the cities where the electricity is needed. And if you do the math, that's about 10 times around the Earth. And again, as you say, Howie, it's not going to happen. And one of the things that we're seeing, happily, there are some 300 instances that Robert has documented where townships, towns, counties have risen up against these wind farm developments and said no,
right,
and have successfully blocked them. It's like, that's the big problem they have in Germany. They had this big wind mandate. We're gonna fuel all of our Audi and Volkswagen factories with wind. Well, of course, the car companies objected to that. But one of the problems they're having is they can't, you know, there's no place where they're able to get away with putting these massive wind farms.
Right. And, you know, I just noticed that, you know, they were talking about putting some in just recently in the off the Hamptons. And again, like you say, it's one of the richest areas in the country on Long Island. And they've already stopped it. They've already stopped it. It took years and years to set up any kind of wind farms near where Ted Kennedy and John Kerry live.
Yeah, right.
And now they're talking about, oh, well, we need environmental justice because communities of color are more affected by these fossil fuel plants. But as you also point out, the noise produced by wind turbines adversely affects human health. And how about all the birds, the millions of birds that are killed?
Yeah, right.
You're going to get the Audubon Society involved in this. You know?
Yeah, the birds and the bats. No, wind and solar are both terrible for the environment. I could go on for days about this, Howie. I mean, another post I did recently shows a video of an abandoned wind farm in the Oklahoma Panhandle. And it's the most god-awful thing you ever saw in your life. I mean, what a blight on the landscape. And wind turbines only last 15 or 20 years, and then you got to figure out how to dispose of them. The vast bulk of them are not recyclable, you know, and so it's just disposing of this stuff is a huge, huge problem.
And as you have a chart in there, power density of various energy sources. I mean, if these people were serious, they'd be going with nuclear power. Nuclear power is the best deal going, isn't it?
Well, if you care about carbon dioxide, I don't much care about carbon dioxide, but if you do, the only option is nuclear energy. You know, a lot of people don't realize, Howie, solar energy, depends where you live. Solar energy works a lot better in Arizona than Minnesota. Where I live, solar panels produce electricity about 18% of the time, okay? 82% of the time, they don't do a thing. And, you know, here in Minnesota, it snows in the winter. And guess what? If solar panels get covered with snow, they don't produce electricity. And the utilities in my part of the country in the winter, they don't even bother to shovel them off because they are such pathetic sources of energy. It isn't worth the trouble to shovel them off. I mean, it's ridiculous. So wind turbines produce electricity about 40% of the time. So what that means is that 60% of the time you're burning natural gas. Or if it's solar panels where I live, 82% of the time you're burning natural gas. I mean, it's a joke. And so if you care about carbon dioxide, the only way to go, the only thing that will produce power reliably 24/7 without producing carbon dioxide is nuclear energy. And if you're a greenie and you're not in favor of nuclear energy, you're just not serious.
Yeah, but they've all seen the China syndrome, John.
Yeah,
they know. It's
Oh Lord. Yeah, I know it. And it's so comical. They talk about nuclear waste. I mean, I happen to know a little bit about this because of legal work I used to do. But I mean, you could take all the nuclear waste that a nuclear power plant produces in 50 years and store it in a large room, you know. whereas these wind turbines, you know, these things are 50 stories high.
I know. I've seen them. They're everywhere. I mean, even if you just see a few of them, it's ridiculous. John Hinderacher, you keep up the good work. You've been doing some good columns. We didn't even get you to talk about the Asian discrimination that the Democrats all voted for in the Senate. But we'll come back to that at some point. Thank you very much for being with us, and keep up the good work at powerlineblog.com. And we'll tweet out the parody CDC chart from the Babylon Bee. You may have just seen my tweeter received a special email from me. Eden Pure has brought back the 3-pack for this week only. You can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. You will get 3 units for under $200, and you'll save $200. One for your basement, first floor, and second floor, all in one purchase. Allergy season is here and is not ending anytime soon. If you suffer from all the pollen, then you need the Thunderstorm. With the 3-pack, you can now enjoy clean air everywhere in your house or workplace. It's been months now that we've been talking about the Thunderstorm air purifier. People still ask me if it really works. Not only does it work, really, it works in hours.
Howie, the Eden Pure name, as you know, has been trusted in the Cormier family for several generations now, and this product, the Thunderstorm, is far and away one of their best that they've ever put out. And if you get one, you're going to want two. And if you get two, you're going to want three. This is the best deal that they have going.
Really, it's a great deal, and you never have enough of these Eden Pures, even if it's just a gift for it's a good Mother's Day gift too. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier is so small and light you can hold it in your hand like I'm doing right now, plug it into the wall. The best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, which of course saves you time and money. Other air purifiers can be very bulky. They can cost you up to $600 for just one unit. Go to EdenPure.com, click the radio banner, and put in code word Howie3 to save $200 for their special three-pack. EdenPure.com, radio banner, code word Howie3. The three-pack special is for this week only. I'm Howie Carr.
Got hate mail?
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
Send it off to grace@howiecarshow.com. And now, back to the cheap bastard from up north.
Maine, where he's from?
Around Portland, I think. And like most real Yankees, he knows how to nurse a dollar.
He's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Russ, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Russ.
You know, Howie, first of all, that guest that just had really lays it out how stupid these emission goals are 10 years down the road. They're so unrealistic. They cannot happen unless we go back to the Stone Age. Now I'll say what I originally called for. You know, I decided to record the commentary instead of listen to Joe Mamaluk's speech. But I'll tell you, Howie, after 2 minutes of just listening to the commentary, I could not take it anymore. And all I can think of is this. We are on the possible verge of World War III. All we need is one wrong move in the South China Sea under the command of Joe Mamaluk, and we are in serious trouble in this country.
Yeah, you notice he didn't mention Taiwan last night, did he? He just wants to destroy the country. I mean, with this great society on steroids, Russ, it's insane. These policies had calamitous consequences when they were first imposed by LBJ in the 1960s. It took 15 years to get out from under these disasters. It took until well into Reagan's first term, and this guy wants to go back and make these policies even worse, you know. And again, he wants to get everybody, as the Wall Street Journal put it, everybody becomes dependent on the government. And we're seeing that with the fact that all these businesses can't get help. This is just like an experiment here with giving the extra $300 a week. It was $600 a week in unemployment, and it's taken millions of people out of the workplace, out of the workforce, because they just say it's too easy not to work. They're getting paid more money to stay home. How long can a system like this prevail? And the only way to have any self-respect in this world, the only way to become a truly functioning, independent human being is to support yourself. And the Democrats are trying to discourage people from supporting themselves. And they want to give you these freebies. Again, what is Head Start except free pre-kindergarten childcare? Why do we need more of it? Why do we need more of community colleges? What are they really learning in these community colleges? Are they learning any real skills that they can employ in a free economy that will make them productive citizens in any way? Of course not. I'm Howie Carr.